Shifting Sands, written by Anthea Fraser and read by Anna Bentinck.
Chapter 1. Jonathan Farrell pushed back his chair and strode to the window, staring down at the street two floors below. It did little to lighten his mood. Pedestrians hurried by, doubtless with meetings to go to, appointments to keep. Cars swept past. Even a dog, pausing at a lamppost, seemed to have a sense of purpose. Unlike himself. He was bored, restless, and worried on a number of counts. Foremost at the moment was the fact that, as a freelance journalist, he'd had no work for the past 2 weeks, while his friend Steve, whose London flat he was presently sharing, was engaged on a lucrative assignment. He turned from the window to make yet another mug of coffee. There was also, he reflected, spooning in the instant, the question of how long he could impinge on Steve's hospitality. Incredibly, he'd already been here 3 months, and though Steve, good friend that he was, insisted it was no problem and he was glad of the company, Jonathan felt increasingly guilty. For one thing, his presence affected Steve's love life. Despite his regularly absenting himself in the evenings, passing the time in a nearby pub or cinema in order to leave the flat free. But the time was fast approaching when, unless he bought or rented a flat of his own, which seemed altogether too final a step, he'd have to sort things out with Vicky. It was undeniable that he missed her and the boys. True, he went down to Kent each weekend to take his sons out, but it was an unsatisfactory arrangement, necessitating brief and difficult meetings with his wife. And at nearly 4 and 6, they were increasingly asking questions he found difficult to answer. Nor was it ideal that during these visits he'd stayed perforce with his mother, who strongly disapproved of his conduct. At least she'd now gone on holiday, and for the next couple of weekends he'd have the house to himself. But that brought him to another concern. It was only 10 months since his father, who'd never had a day's illness, dropped dead on the golf course, a fact Jonathan still had difficulty accepting. And as a much-needed break for their mother, he and his sister Sophie had arranged this holiday for her. It was the most damnable luck that her friend Beatrice, who was to have accompanied her, had broken her arm and had to drop out. Which meant that instead of the loving support they'd envisaged, Jonathan feared she might now be lonelier than if she'd stayed at home. His mobile rang suddenly, startling him into spilling his coffee, and, hastily locating the phone, he saw the call was from UK Today and felt a surge of hope. "Nick, hi. Got something for me?" "Sorry, mate, not at the moment. Or, come to think of it, just maybe." "And what the hell does that mean?" "Some bird just rang, asking for your number. Sounded foreign. You might want to give her a call. Could be something in it."
"Name?"
"She wouldn't give it. Sounded pretty cagey to me." Jonathan frowned. "When was this?" "Just now. She was on a mobile." He read out the number, and Jonathan jotted it down. "Right. Thanks, Nick. And if anything comes up, let me know, won't you?" "Will do."
Ending the call, Jonathan picked up the pad and regarded it thoughtfully. A foreign girl who wouldn't leave her name. He felt a stirring of interest. As Nick said, there might be something in it. But even if there weren't, he couldn't afford not to follow it up. Feeling more positive than he had in a while, he punched out the number. She sounded French, but could as easily be Belgian or Swiss. They arranged to meet in a cafe across town, though again she withheld her name, saying merely that she'd be wearing a blue jacket.